No appellant is here.
We'll call that one later.
And the same, 25-197?
Yep, no appellant.
So we are up to 25-17.
Morning.
Yeah.
Morning. Good morning, would you identify yourself for the record?
Assistant Chief Lawrence Terra for the Michigan Authority, West Hartford PD.
Detective Merrick Forder, West Hartford Police Department.
Thank you.
Attorney Richard Kramer for the appellant, I guess that's the correct term.
Appellant.
Okay, so the argument.
Can I get your name again, I'm sorry?
Sure, Merrick, M-E-R-R-I-C-K.
Yeah.
Forder, F-O-R-A-D-E-R.
Thank you.
And I'll just bring up for full disclosure, I used to work in West Hartford, if that matters to anyone.
I'm sorry?
I used to work in West Hartford, so I...
In the police department?
In the police department, I certainly know the assistant chief.
How long ago was that?
About 12 years ago, but for 30 years.
And you worked directly with these?
No, I have not worked with them.
Okay, I mean, do you think...
Well...
What, pardon me?
No, I have not worked. I don't want to say, I don't really know the one on the right, the officer.
You feel you could be fair and impartial, though?
Of course.
I have no objection.
Okay.
Thank you. Chief, a summary of your case?
Chairperson and members of the board, the appellant submitted an accurate DPS 799C pistol permit application dated December 8, 2023. However, his permit denial was based on the appellant's suitability and temperament to carry a firearm so as to not jeopardize his safety or the others.
At this point, we're just asking for a summary of the case.
It would say suitability and temperament.
Okay. Thank you. Would you like to summarize your case, Attorney?
Yes, I would. I'll be brief, if I take the word summary literally, but I assume I have a chance to expand on it.
Oh, yes.
This is just opening statements.
Yes. Yeah, Mr. Santiago?
The appellant.
So...
Maybe appellant.
Yeah, we do, yeah, it's up to you, he can waive it, but it's for...
I can waive it and use his name?
Yep, it's up to, he can.
He can.
It's up to you.
Mr. Santiago?
Yeah.
It's more personal. He is a totally changed man. He wants to have a gun permit. I don't have to tell you how the Supreme Court has treated this in the Bruin case. It's right under the Second Amendment. I understand there are limitations, and the state is going to say what those limitations are. But at the present time, he's a person who's perfectly suited to carry a gun. The elephant in the room here, I'm going to be brief, is that he did have a criminal record, and he's now been pardoned. To me, a pardon means exactly that. It means that he is found by the Board of Pardons, a group of experts such as you, except it's composed of psychologists, psychiatrists, people who are in depth, have an in-depth understanding of criminal history, and they grant him a pardon. So he has no criminal record, has a legitimate business...
This is your summary, sir.
Oh, come on, one more sentence. He has character letters that describe what an exemplary person is, and there's no reason in the world, I think, why he can't have a gun permit.
Thank you. Chief, your case in full?
Thank you very much. My first witness, I call is Detective Merrick Forder. Please state your name and title and agency for the record.
Detective Merrick Forder, currently assigned as the background investigator for all pistol permits.
In such capacity, when we were notified of the appeal, did you recognize the appellant's name or information?
I did.
Okay. And do you have personal knowledge in your official capacity or have had contact with the appellant in West Hartford?
I have on one occasion.
Remember what year that was?
2019.
Okay. And how did that come about?
I was in patrol at the time, and I was dispatched to a domestic incident at the house. I believe it was September 4th of 2019.
Sorry, what year was this?
2019.
Okay. I'd like to stake an objection for the record at this point. I'm not going to belabor the point, but the West Hartford Police filed a response to this appeal, which was, I would call, to be generous, a beer bones response. And I think everything that's about to come in now was not mentioned in the response. So I think we're getting about to be ambushed here. If there's substance about some domestic response, there was no reference to that except in a general way, when, where, how. I would have prepared, and I'm not prepared to respond to this allegation. So I either ask that it be excluded or we be continued a brief period of time so I can have the information to intelligently and diligently and responsibly respond from Mr. Santiago.
By a brief period of time, do you mean time off today and come back, or do you mean to come back for another day?
Either or, but if we come back for another day, the state should supply me at least in a more generalized way than I have here what we're talking about. I did not know that it was a 2019 incident. You didn't know. You have their response, and now we're hearing for the first time. And I admit, from what I'm hearing, it could form a basis for a denial. So to answer your question directly, we waited 2 years for this hearing. I don't want to wait 2 years again. Mr. Santiago doesn't want to wait 2 years again. So I prefer to come back another day in the near future, if that's how this board works.
I just have a question. Did you receive the response from the PD regarding the issuing authority questionnaire? Did you receive that?
Yes.
And I'm just saying it did. It said suitability, and one of the things that's in there is protective restraining orders subject to previous protective orders related to family violence incidents.
Can I see that?
Yeah. That's why I asked you if you had this. You said yes. I'm just saying it seems like he did provide notice.
Kyle, I got it.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure, so.
Oh, yes. Subject to previous protective orders related to family violence incidents. Yes. When that was, where it was, I don't know. Okay. That doesn't seem to me to give me an adequate response, but...
I was just checking to make sure you received that, that's all.
I have received it.
Yeah, so just to help the chair make her decision.
And I think some of the problem is going to be there's no police report, it sounds like.
Well, no, it's, yeah, they're all been, they're been, well, the case has been pardoned, so.
So it's based on the officer's testimony, there's no document that he can give you. That's my guess here.
Exactly, and that would have been enough if it's on the police report. Well, every word that
But the police reports aren't available.
Well, but the meeting available to everybody now.
No, he's testifying from memory.
Not the police report physical thing, but the information contained therein is coming in now. So, I mean, it's just unfair. That's all I can say.
May I have an opportunity to respond?
Yes.
Okay. The appellant is aware of all these incidents because he was involved in them. There is no police report to be submitted. This is personal testimony of the officer on the scene. That's why I couldn't give you a document. It's his memory. Again, these incidents, as identified, this is what we use as a denial. And your client knows about them. He wasn't directly involved in them.
Yeah. Well, that could be a basis for everything. In a criminal case, this is a basis, and the defendant knows about it. It doesn't even say 2019, that just says a domestic incident. When it was, I don't know. If they don't have a, if there was a domestic incident, there must be a report. That's my view. Everything gets recorded somewhere. If they could have given us a summary of that, we would have known what we're talking about. That's my objection.
I understand. You will have an opportunity to cross-examine, however.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to understand, there is no report that they can give you to give a summary of. It's from the officer's testimony of his memory. Because the report would have been erased. If it's a dismissed case, it's erased by law, and it's not available to you or to them.
I think you push. My experience in criminal law is there's always an incident report. Please don't go to a claim of a domestic...
No, clearly, I'm guessing now, but I'm assuming there was a report written. Case went through court, it was dismissed, so the report is not available. It's erased by law.
No. All right, we can proceed with it. Noted my objection.
Noted.
Was my summary accurate? I mean, is that what you're going to say? There was
There's no report to release.
Exactly.
That's why I have the witness here who was present and handling the incident.
So you may go ahead.
Again, you're on patrol, you stated and responded to the appellant, to a call involving the appellant. You recall, without listing the address, what that incident was?
It was a domestic incident. CAD remarks were that the appellant was intoxicated and verbally getting into an altercation with his wife. And there were two children involved. By the time we arrived, the children were outside, juvenile children, with the appellant's girlfriend or wife. I'm not sure exactly what the relationship was. At that time, we started conducting our investigation. We spoke to the mother of the children. She said that she had not been threatened or assaulted, but she needed to get out of the house for that night. I went to talk to the appellant. I knocked on the door for minutes with no answer. Eventually, we made phone call contact with the appellant, and he refused to come out, come outside, talk to us. I tried to, you know, get him to step outside just so I can see if he had any injuries. He told me that he was not coming outside and that we can go through his lawyer. So he was uncooperative with the investigation at that time. We made no enforcement action that night.
So there was no arrest made?
No.
Thank you. As the individual assigned to do the background investigations when we get a case like this, did you or someone in the PD have an occasion to check the state of Connecticut Protection Order Registry?
Yes, we have one officer who's our court officer that has access to the Protection Order Registry. The registry has things, sometimes things are removed, sometimes things remain on the registry, so it's standard in certain cases. To go through the protection order registry. So I asked that officer to run the registry with the appellant's name, and a couple things came up.
These occurred outside of the five-year window for the application?
Correct.
Do you know the dates and what they were?
Not the specifics without looking at the actual forms, but.
Provide counsel with a copy of this order.
I don't understand what order.
It's what the witness just testified to. They located two State of Connecticut Protection Orders on the registry that are beyond the 5 year, but it directly has to relate to family violence stipends.
Okay, and Attorney Craver does not have a copy of this document.
He does not, but we mentioned it in the response, the appellant response, or I'm sorry, the issuing authority response questionnaire. We mentioned it in there. He just doesn't have a physical copy of the document.
I think we'll just rely on the testimony.
Okay, thank you very much. So there were, you mentioned there was two that were located.
Correct. Okay. One was a protective order for an individual with sharing children in common. That was probably, from my recollection, maybe 15 to 20 years old. Then there was a restraining order as well that was listed in the protective order registry.
And the subject of both?
Old. I'm sorry?
Who was the subject of both?
It was an individual with children in common. And then one of them specifically mentioned children. Okay. I can't, without looking at it, I can't.
The I subject of the order.
Yeah, I think you mean, was the appellant? The
oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions for this witness.
Would you like to cross-examine?
The incident you referred to in 2019, you chose not to make an arrest, right?
That's correct.
In other words, in your mind, you didn't even have probable cause to charge Mr. Santiago with any criminal activity.
That's correct. We couldn't make contact with him. You refused to come outside, so.
Okay. You said refused to come outside. He had no, in your mind, he had no constitutional obligation to come out and talk to you.
Correct, yeah.
And if he had spoken to his lawyer and his lawyer had said, don't talk, you recognize that as his,
yes,
as his correct?
I do.
Okay. Nobody was injured, as far as you can tell?
No.
I have no other questions, Your Honor.
May I redirect, please?
Yes.
Detective, what was the purpose of trying to get the appellant out of the house? You mentioned that earlier. What was your purpose?
To check on his safety.
Thank you very much. No further questions.
Questions from the board?
I do. There was no arrest in that case?
No.
Was there a report done?
Yes.
So that report's not erased?
No.
That's what I was, I thought, I assumed there was an arrest, but there is a report that's disclosable, right, for that incident?
There's, and as you all know, where there's a report on an incident, if there's no probable cause or no, nothing to sustain, after I forget how many years, they do not release that to anybody. It's protected because they protect the appellant's rights.
Well, that'd be an unsubstantiated allegation of criminal activity where there's no, not even an allegation of criminal activity.
Correct.
I wouldn't, in my opinion, I would think it's releasable, but I guess you gotta go by.
I'm sorry?
I would think it's releasable. I don't think it's gonna matter here today, but.
No, I'm not gonna push.
But,
Something
like an FOI type decision, but some would disagree on that. But I misunderstood. I thought it was an arrest that had been erased and was not a, that's what I was going on.
That's not included in the part of the.
But apparently not.
Was there, did you also decline because of failure to disclose? Did he disclose all the things he should have disclosed on the application?
For that incident?
No, for, I mean, in his application for the gun permit, did he disclose his, everything he needed to disclose from his background?
According to the application, it's accurate. There are other things that came up, but he, under the application, he did not need to disclose the erased charges or any protective orders that were beyond the 5 years, which is the requirement on there.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Attorney Kramer.
My turn?
Yeah, your turn.
All right. I gave a summary of where Mr. Santiago is.
Yeah, I was going to say, he has another witness.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. You're all set. I'd like to call Detective Peter Parlos.
Were you present for the swearing-in, sir?
I was.
And would you identify yourself for the record?
Detective Peter Parlos. I work in the Detective Division at West Hartford.
And spell your last name?
P-A-R-L-O-S.
Thank you.
Proceed.
Yes.
Detective Parlos, thank you for being here. Was there an occasion where you interacted with the appellant in West Hartford?
Yes.
Recall what year that was?
2021.
So relatively recent. What were the circumstances of that contact that you had with him?
I was assigned to the traffic division at the time, monitoring traffic for a one-way road that was just installed in town. And I observed the appellant's registered vehicle travel the wrong way in violation of the posted one-way travel sign. And I attempted the motor vehicle stop of that vehicle.
Did the appellant stop?
No.
And did that ensue an investigation on your part?
It did. By the appellant's vehicle not stop and he engaged me in pursuit, I was able to obtain his registration plate and realize he lived not too far away in town. I proceeded to his address where I spoke with a babysitter at the house who was watching his children at the time, who provided me with contact info for the appellate. I believe I left him a voicemail trying to ascertain his whereabouts.
Okay. Would you say that the appellant was cooperative?
No. After my shift ended, the appellate called the police department and told a coworker that one of his employees was operating the vehicle at that time. And was the one that engaged me in pursuit. He gave me a name, but no further identifying information for the employee, and I couldn't verify if this person was real or not. Through the course of my investigation, I spoke with a fellow traffic officer who was familiar with the appellate for engagement in pursuit a few years earlier, in which he had applied for the arrest warrant at that time, and he had been denied. During the course of my investigation, I located several other in-house history with the appellate for criminal history going back to 2011. There was a home invasion in town at the appellate's house.
Well, I object, Your Honor. First of all, this visa getting into the convictions that were pardoned, and we know there's a history of pardons, so it seems to me that we shouldn't be resurrecting things that the pardon board, and I, in my initial statement, said it had been granted, and now we're going to use the activities again in a way that does not reflect the effect the pardon should have in this hearing.
May I respond? Okay. We are not talking about charges or convictions or anything like that. What we're talking about is suitability and temperament. There is some key issues that occurred during this incident wherein the appellant was a victim of a crime. So that's what we're trying to bring forward to the board to show you that there's other things going on regardless of charges. We're not going to talk about that or convictions. That has nothing to do with our case.
If he was a victim, how does that apply to his suitability?
Great question, and we were about to give a testimony for that before the objection was raised.
Okay. Again, you will have the chance to cross-examine.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about charges, but let's start over. You've been a police officer for how long in West Hartford?
16 years.
Okay. And in those 16 years, how many home invasions have we had in the town of West Hartford, to your knowledge?
Less than 10, maybe less than 5.
Which is it, less than 5 or less than 10?
It's difficult to say. 16 years is a long time. I'm not at work all the time. I could pretty confidently say less than 10.
Okay, take that. So, there was a home invasion reported to the police department, correct?
Yes.
All right. And the comments that were made to us, this is a CAD comment that we keep in-house that's not open to the public.
What do you mean CAD?
Our computer-aided computer-aided dispatch. When a call comes in, a 911 call from the public, the dispatcher records this to give to the officers responding to the scene. And I'd like to have this witness share that with you, what came in, as he was the victim.
Okay.
Please read that comment.
Female party screaming on the phone, get the cops here. Female party stated two Hispanic males came in the house posing as a meter readers wearing fluorescent vests, assaulted her husband and shot at him with a gun. Her husband did not get shot. Silver Honda Civic two-door, 168 YWB, left towards Oakwood Avenue. The complainant was upstairs with her two daughters when she heard some commotion.
Okay. So you mentioned earlier in the course of your investigation, you talked to other officers at the PD and reviewed what they had handled. In the course of this call for the victim here, the appellant, what did the other officers discover in the home?
Could I just, I mean, you have identified that the appellant was the victim of this incident?
Yes.
Okay. It would have to be from personal recollection. Not from being told from other officers.
So, in his investigation, he did his own query of all this stuff, all the different incidents, because he was trying to identify who was it fled from him on that tape. So it's his personal knowledge through his investigation, if you'll allow that.
Well, that's exactly the bit. Yeah. Still, it's hearsay, and it's unreliable hearsay, and it's not what he has personal knowledge. He's using the word personal knowledge. It's not personal knowledge.
If he did the investigation of the case, it's not personal knowledge?
No, it's not personal knowledge of the instance to which he's going to be testified. It's personal knowledge of what other people told him, clearly.
Well, I think there's some confusion there because he did do an investigation himself.
Oh, if he's going to testify what he personally observed or heard from somebody involved in this incident, I have no problem. If he's going to testify what other police officers told him, I do have a problem. I think
There's hearsay rules are relaxed here compared to a criminal court.
Oh, I understand. I understand that.
I don't know what he's going to say either. But
it's like any preliminary hearing in a criminal case. Yeah. They're relaxed, but the evidence has to be reliable to some extent. So other officers years ago told him something.
And the other issue is, it sounds like he was not arrested in this case. Maybe he was. I don't know. But if he wasn't, the report should be disclosable.
But we don't have it.
But we don't have it.
And it goes back to the pardon. The charges were erased. However, we're talking about not the charges or the conviction or anything like that. We're talking about what was discovered in the house as to suitability and temperament. And when you hear it, you're probably going to realize.
Yeah, I know. It has to come from his personal knowledge of what he saw on the scene. Okay. We're pretty clear from Bramado on that.
Yeah, if he was not there,
we're pretty clear on the Bramado case, it's based on a record review, then it's not personal
knowledge to my satisfaction.
Were you present at the scene?
No.
Did you personally review any photos yourself in preparing your affidavit for the court?
From the 2011 case?
Yes.
No.
So how did you obtain the information that was part of your affidavit?
During the course of my investigation, during the engagement in pursuit, I looked up the appellate's name in our in-house system and then pulled up all the history we have with him for me to try to determine why he may have fled if it was him, and try to help build my probable cause that he was the one that engaged me in pursuit. During that course, I had located other cases that showed a history of drug use, and that led me to believe there may have been drugs or some other substance in the vehicle that may have been why he fled.
And what year is this again?
The home invasion or my pursuit?
Both.
The pursuit was in 2021, the home invasion was in 2011.
2011?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what year was this home invasion?
2011.
So you personally reviewed the CAD comments and all the documents in the in-house computer for your case to prepare your affidavit. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. There's some information that he learned from his personal search to draft his affidavit, which is pertinent here.
From his personal search of the residence?
Not of the residence, because that was 2011. He's doing this in 2021.
So when you say personal search, I don't understand
it's
what
It's a record
search.
Review.
Search of the records.
Of the internal, the CAD remarks and the cases and the situations. And what happens is we maintain all these things as we go on. So that's what he personally did.
Okay. So can I just for clarity, from my perspective, to take a step back, the detective is giving us information on a 2021, you were putting together an affidavit for an arrest warrant or getting probable cause for a pursuit, someone fleeing the scene?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And as a result of your investigation in 2021, you did not get an affidavit or warrant to pursue the appellate claim?
For the 2021 case?
Yeah.
Yes, I ultimately did.
You did?
Yes.
And where we're going is to an incident in 2011 that you did not have firsthand knowledge of.
No, I was not involved in that.
And that's the information that we're leading up to?
That's the case I'm talking about. 2011 case, I don't even believe I was working as a police officer at the time.
Okay.
So you were looking up your suspects in
Correct.
The pursuits, pattern of behavior in the records of the West Harford Police Department?
Yes.
To see if there was anything there that might help solve your pursuit case?
Correct.
Wait, not yet. I'm sorry.
No, that was it. I just make sure I understood because I did misunderstand the thing at the beginning.
Anything else?
Yes, may I proceed?
Yes.
There's one item that during that investigation in 2011 that you brought to your attention was the location of various drugs in the house.
Correct. Ultimately, from the 2011 home invasion, it was determined based on the investigating officers that those aren't random incidents. There was a reason the house was targeted. The reason the house was targeted was there was a large amount of crack cocaine located, ultimately hidden in a crib for one of the children in the house.
Okay, we're going to move on. After the denial, yes.
What happened with the pursuit case? Let's finish that up.
Well, we don't want to talk about arrests or...
Well, no, but just what happened. He can tell about what he did.
What he did, yeah. Personally.
This is the 2011?
No, this is 2021. Well, how did the... what was the resolution of the 2021 case?
And during that case, the appellate refused to come speak to me and provide a sworn statement. I couldn't get a hold or verify the person allegedly operating the vehicle was real. And based on his history with the West Hartford Police Department and liability by owner for engaging in pursuit, I ultimately drafted an arrest warrant.
And was it granted?
It was.
And do you know the resolution of the case, the outcome of that case?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just sort of summarize that for you.
Okay. The appellant's application for pistol permit was denied, and following that, we had more contact with the appellant. Detective Parlos, he's a detective, he figured out why it was, what the case was about, although he wasn't there to handle it.
What case?
Yeah.
What
are we
talking about? Came up in 2024, was it? I think it was 2024. There's another case after the denial.
I know, but you didn't tell us about it yet.
Yeah.
No, I'm just explaining that. That's
okay.
What
it's
going to
do. Oh, okay.
Okay. Do you have knowledge of that case?
I do.
Okay. Please share the details that you know them.
2024, Officer Rohrig was dispatched to a complaint for illegal dumping at 1030 New Britain Avenue, which is Meineke, a business. The complainant, one of the business owners there, filed a complaint for a trailer dumping debris on their property. Officer Rohrig arrived, realized that the trailer belonged to the appellate, contacted the appellate, and told him he had to remove it. The appellate subsequently did and was issued a verbal warning for illegal dumping.
So we had a criminal incident. It was a trespass and a dumping, correct?
Correct.
Okay. The officers investigated.
Correct.
They made contact with the appellant.
Yes.
And they gave him sufficient time to remove his trailer.
Correct.
And the debris.
Correct.
No arrest made, correct?
Yes.
I have no further questions for this witness.
Just briefly, I have no questions.
Questions from the board.
The incident with the dumping.
Yes.
Charges were filed?
As the witness testified, he was given a warning, given a chance to remove his trailer,
yeah,
and given a chance to remove the debris. And the complainant, which was not us, they were happy with that resolution, and simply there was two officers that went to make sure it was done. They gave the appellant a warning.
And he did it. He complied.
He complied. I think it took 24 hours, is that accurate?
The next day.
Yeah. And the reason that that's brought up is, again, it shows suitability, temperament, following rules, et cetera. Do you agree?
I have a question without getting into details that would identify the appellant by location, but where was the property that the claimant said had the trailer and debris on it relative to where the appellant resides?
Maybe a mile from his residence.
Okay, so not an immediate neighbor?
No.
And was it a residential site or an empty lot?
It was a commercial business.
It was a commercial
Meineke
business.
Meineke.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else from the board? And you have no cross-examination
No.
on this witness? Okay. Then.
Any other witnesses?
I'll excuse this witness, and I have no further witnesses.
Thank you. Attorney Kramer.
Well, Mr. Santiago wants to testify.
Okay.
Briefly, Mr. Santiago, tell the board what business you're in, how many people employed, discuss your business in a generalized way.
I'm a landscaping business.
Could you speak a little louder?
I own a landscaping business for over 15 years in West Hartford, and I employ 4 employees. And we do snow removal, mulch application, concrete work, miscellaneous duties.
Is it a fairly successful business?
I believe so.
Okay, so there was reference to a dumping incident a few years ago. Could you comment on that and tell the board what that was all about?
Yes. Well, I'm friends with the owner of Meineke, and it's that property, I guess, is right next door to Meineke. And my trailer was stored there, and we dumped the debris underground so that we could pick up some other debris because the dump was closed. And he told me the neighbor complained, so I told the neighbor, I said, yeah, we'll pick it up. It was raining. As soon as it stops raining, we're going to go back and pick it up. And exactly what I said, we picked it up. And I didn't realize it was the neighbor's property versus my friend's property, the manager.
So you did a responsible thing and removed
it? As soon as I said it stopped raining, I picked it up.
Okay, so the debris was not on Meineke property, it was on somebody else's property?
It was on the border, but I didn't realize the neighbor was a fussy.
And so the complainant was not Meineke, it was someone adjacent?
Neighbor.
Okay.
And as soon as I made contact with the neighbor, I told him that I will pick it up as soon as it stops raining, and I did.
There was an incident described earlier about a truck owned by your landscaping company going down the wrong way street, I think. Do you recall that incident?
Yes, I believe that was my brother-in-law, who has a history of substance abuse, was working for me at the time. And he told me he was getting pulled over, and he bailed on the police after the fact that the police was looking for me and my truck.
Okay, then there was some testimony, I believe, that police tried to contact you and you didn't speak to them.
Well, as from my attorney's advice, he told me not to speak to the police.
And who was the attorney at the moment?
Mr. Brian Wolf.
Okay. It wasn't me?
No.
Okay. So the only impediment to you speaking to the police was your attorney telling you not to speak to the police?
Right.
Okay. And then there was a reference to an incident where police came to your house. It was a domestic incident. Could you comment on that?
Well, me and my wife had a misunderstanding. And she said she wanted to, take off for the evening. And I said, fine. And that's when I guess the police were called. I don't know who called or what. But the police did try to make contact with me, but I refused to speak to them.
Again, on the advice of attorney?
Yes.
You called Mr. Wolf?
Yes.
Okay. And no arrest came for that?
Right? No.
There was, I think, something about 2011. That there was a home invasion, do you recall that?
Yes, I do recall
that. Could you comment on that?
I guess the facts are the facts of what they are. And that was a long time ago. I'm a changed person. And there's nothing I can say or do to erase my past.
Do you use drugs?
I smoke marijuana. Okay. At the time. I don't do no more. I don't drink no more yet.
Okay. Do you drink excessively?
No, not at all.
Are you involved in community service in West Hartford?
Yes.
Tell the board about that.
West Hartford softball, girls softball league. I coach and I maintain the fields.
You maintain the fields. What does that mean?
Do the lines, rake the fields before ball games.
You get paid for that?
No.
You do that as a community service?
Yes.
You're here because you want to have a gun permit. Why do you want to have a gun?
I want to take it up for recreation, sports, and maybe someday collect.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to tell the board about yourself that you think bears upon your right to possess a firearm?
Yeah, I mean, My history, yes, I do have a history, and I admit to having a history, but I no longer live that lifestyle.
You went to the pardons board?
Yes.
Okay. Did they ask you questions about your history?
Yes.
And were you open with them?
Yes.
Okay. And they granted you a full pardon?
Yes.
Okay. I have nothing else to add.
Would you like to cross-examine?
Yes, please. I just have one question. Are you aware of who called 911 for the domestic in 2019?
I don't know. I'm not aware.
All right. I will, my witness testified that it was his wife that called. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Just to carry up, are you married now?
Yes, 22 years.
How long?
22 years.
Okay. Never separated from your wife?
No.
Okay. You have a harmonious relationship?
Well, yeah, we have our ups and downs. No violence.
I have no other questions.
I have one follow-up to that.
All right.
There was two protective orders, restraining orders issued. You were the subject. Was...
That wasn't my wife. I could believe, I think that was a long time ago, that I don't even remember if it was an ex-girlfriend of mine or something. But I know it was a very long time that I vaguely remember.
Thank you.
I have further questions on the board.
I just have one. When your attorney asked you about the incident in 2011, you said the facts are the facts. I believe that the incident in 2011, the home invasion?
Right.
And you answered, 2011, the facts are the facts. I just don't know what the facts are. So what are the... what were the facts of the case since you... Just out of curiosity.
I was going to ask the same question. You brought it up.
Well, I was into the wrong things, and I guess I got someone's attention, and that's what happened.
What actually happened?
You're talking 15 years ago. That's a pretty good. That's a substantial period of time and distance. But again, I would. What was the incident? What occurred?
Well, what occurred was that I was doing the wrong things in interacting and in drug activity.
Were you selling?
Yes.
Okay.
And somebody invaded your house?
Yes.
Yeah. You were the victim. That's testimony.
Okay. Yep. And yeah, so your house was. I was targeted based on the activity of the narcotic sale out of the home. Okay. Anyone injured in that event?
Just myself.
Just yourself? Okay. Was anybody else home at the time?
My wife and my daughter.
Okay. So I'm sorry that occurred. Very traumatic, I'm sure. What was found during the search? What were you selling?
Cocaine.
Okay. And... you received a pardon for that incident?
Yes.
Going through the board, okay. Thank you.
And just to borrow, when you received the pardon, you sat before a board of people as you are today, and they questioned you about that incident?
And I took full responsibility.
And then they granted you a pardon?
Yep.
Other questions from the board?
You mentioned, I'm not sure what you said. You said you smoked marijuana.
Yes.
Yes.
In the past.
Currently
no,
in the past.
No,
okay. When was the last time?
It's been over 15 years when I got my CDL and they did random piss tests, so I stopped. Never went back.
All right. I just wasn't clear.
And
if you
then
said
I stopped drinking for 3 years.
So you haven't been drinking for 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. Well, other than what he brought up, have you been involved with the police in any other jurisdiction for anything? Motor vehicle violations, any type of criminal activity. Okay, thank you.
What was the result of the case that you've been pardoned for? What was the disposition?
It was 7 years suspended after seven years suspended after 3 years probation, something like that.
No jail time?
No.
You had a number of letters of endorsement. Could you review with me some of who those individuals were and your relationship to them?
Yes. Well, one is the director of the West Hartford Girls Softball League. And one is a realtor that I do business with and knows me. We collaborate on work. One is a personal friend of mine, and my family member, I believe, also there too.
And are these individuals who've known you for
many years?
Many years.
Yes.
And could, how many years specifically?
I'd say over 15, 20 years, something more.
Okay. Thank you.
I have nothing further.
Other questions from the board? Have I given you a chance to cross-examine?
You have, ma'am. Okay. I'm all set. I have no further questions.
Any final statement, Attorney Kramer?
No. I mean, I think just briefly, I don't want to reiterate what I said in the opening. If it weren't for the pardon and the long gap in time between the activities, which reflect negatively on Mr. Santiago, I don't think we'd be here. But as I said, the pardon's board granted a pardon, criminal activity, which we're supposed to say he has no criminal activity because of the pardon, but whatever it is a long time ago. And people change, and they change with age. He's in his 50s now, responsible member of the community. He wants to exercise his Second Amendment right to hold a gun. The pardon is meaningless if he can't, at a minimum, have constitutional rights such as holding a gun. There's other factors which obviously this panel could consider, but I think whatever he's done since then, somebody dumped some trash inadvertently on somebody else's property or had a dispute with his wife who he's been married to for many years is de minimis and should not be an impediment to holding a gun. He has no violence in his background, no violence whatsoever since many years ago, if at all.
Sure.
Thank you. Chairperson, members of the board, the issuing authority has presented evidence that the applicant's pistol permit application was completed in an accurate manner. We don't disagree with that. However, the applicant was denied under Connecticut General Statute Section 2928 based on the fact that the issuing authority has significant concerns related to the applicant's suitability to possess a pistol permit in light of the various interactions he has had with family, with members of the public and law enforcement authorities as we presented today. Based on the delineated facts and concerns discussed today, West Hartford Police Chief requests the board to affirm the denial at this time. Thank you.
Attorney,
this is a denial by the West Hartford Police Department. The denial's for suitability. Their basis of the denial was a 2019 call at the appellant's residence. It was initially responded to the appellant's wife called the police department, had an argument with her husband. The appellant's wife and children were outside upon arrival. The appellant's wife stated she is not assaulted and just needed to leave the house. There was no arrest made in that case. The appellant, they found no probable cause or anything regarding the appellant's wife, did not make a complaint regarding the appellant's behavior. And was not assaulted. She just needed to leave the residence. There was no arrest in that case. The West Hartford Police Department did point out a protective and restraining order that they had record of. They were at least 15 to 20 years old. They discussed a 2021 incident in which an officer observed a vehicle registered to the appellant's either the appellant or the appellant's business, traveling the wrong way on a one-way street. It would not stop. There was a brief pursuit that was terminated when the police officer discovered it was registered to a West Hartford resident, went to the residence and got contact information for the appellant. The appellant, they could not verify who the driver was. West Hartford Police Department applied for an arrest warrant, which was granted. We did not get whatever happened with that case. And there was they discussed a 2024 illegal dumping complaint, which was handled by the appellants agreeing to clean it up and just a verbal warning issue. The appellant has a landscaping business in town for 15 years. He has 4 employees. He did, in his testimony, he stated it was his brother-in-law that was operating that vehicle in the 2021 incident and had a substance abuse issue at the time. That's probably why he ran from the police. He's been married for over 20 years. He volunteers with the West Hartford Softball League, maintains the field as a benefit to the town. And we did receive, it was 8 to 10, very supporting letters of reference for the appellant's appeal in our package.
Thank you. It was your brother driving the truck, wasn't it?
Brother-in-law.
Okay.
My sister's ex.
Okay. Comments from the board?
Yeah, I certainly understand why the chief was concerned, given his pretty extensive old history for which he was pardoned, and a couple of other interactions with the police. But the last thing of any significance, which does not result in an arrest, happened 7 years ago. And it seems as though, and we do hear this a lot, but I think this is a case of someone having a pretty bad history, but as someone approaches and enters middle age, changes his ways. It seems like, he's right now, doesn't seem to me to be a threat to public safety were he to be given the permit.
Any other comments before a vote? Dr. Conrad.
For the appellant.
Attorney Sinetti.
Appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
I'm going to vote for the issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Appellant.
And I vote for the issuing authority. So it is 4-2-2, and you're successful.
You have prevailed.
Okay. See, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Thank you. That's why we tried to speak loud on both sides. Thank you.
Good luck.